Hi there, VetBlast podcast listeners. Are you tired of overcrowded lectures and conferences that don't feel worth your while? If so, you're in luck. Our first Fetch conference of the year is almost here. Join us this St. Patrick's Day weekend, March 14th to the 16th at Fetch Charlotte. At Fetch, we offer practical, real-world continuing education you can immediately apply in your clinic. No fluff, no filler, just sessions designed to meet the challenges veterinary professionals face every day. We also take care of you while you're here with complimentary meals and snacks so you can focus on learning and networking with fellow vet professionals. We are also offering up to 47 in-person plus on-demand continuing education credits available after the conference, multiple unique hands-on labs such as Recover CPR certification and canine dental extractions, and two keynote addresses from Dr. Joya Griffin and Dr. Philip Bergman. So, what are you waiting for? Early bird pricing ends January 27th, 2025 at midnight your local time. Don't wait. Check it out now at dvm360events.com and register today for Fetch Charlotte.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM360.
Fear, anxiety, and stress in our patients, it's something that we deal with day in and day out, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that way, especially as we're in 2025, my friends. There's so many things that we can do, and we're going to chat about fear-free in practice with our wonderful colleagues, Dr. Megan Bauer and Certified Veterinary Practice Manager Jessica Osborne in the house. Welcome, friends.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, it was so good. You did that in sync, by the way. It was like, thank you.
We practice that. We're also dressed alike.
They are dressed alike, too, to the listeners. I love it. And so they're at Latah Creek Animal Hospital, and we're going to give them a big shout out because I think, you know, we're always looking in medicine and practice for best practices, and really excited to share some of the experiences that you have gone through and your team. Hopefully that can be replicated at other practices around the country. So a little information about Dr. Bauer. She's the co-owner and medical director of Latah Creek Animal Hospital, graduated from Washington State University in 2015. Go
Boogs!
I love it. And became Spokane's first fear-free certified veterinarian. She's passionate about behavior medicine and feline care, but loves all her patients. Outside of work, Dr. Megan enjoys camping, four-wheeling, and agility training with her two dogs, Remy Pierre and Oliver Elvis. Wait, tell me about the names.
Remy Pierre is my little poodle, so he needed a French name.
Love it. Of course.
And then Oliver Elvis, his full APC name is Oliver Elvis is Jailhouse Rock because he's from the prison program in town.
Love that.
So he's done hard time on the inside.
Yes. Yeah.
But he's reformed now. He's a good boy.
Does it show it on his face? Like he did hard time. Like you know that he's been there.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a couple of teardrop tattoos on his face that kind of give away. So that's how we know.
Right.
Yeah. Like, he definitely acts like, you know, he's pretty tough. He's a 9-pound chihuahua mix.
Oh,
so
that's about right. Yes. And you have three cats too, Trixie, Chandler, and Jinx, and a BRE, Kevin.
Oh, yes. Yes. My cats, after Chandler, started naming them after my favorite drag queens. So that's where Trixie and Jinx come from. Trixie Mattel and Jinx Monsoon. And then Kevin just looks like a Kevin. He's very judgmental. It's judgment all day long with the side eye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They give you the stink eye. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have four dachshunds. Need I say more? They give you that all the time. I'm always being judged. Always. And Jessica Osborne is a co-owner and hospital manager at Latah Creek and has been in veterinary medicine since 2003 and earned her CVPM in 2016, becoming Spokane's first fear-free advocate. She helped certify Eastern Washington's first practice and helped Latah Creek achieve fear-free practice certification in 2021. It's amazing. Congratulations. Jessica is a thoughtful leader who values positivity and accountability. And on weekends, she enjoys riding dirt bikes with her husband and kids alongside their two dogs, Benelli and Dash, and two cats, Rocco, Wilson, and Gustav. I'm done. I love it. Wait, before we begin, can we just talk about Wicked for a second?
Can we please? Can we talk about it the whole time?
Wait, listeners, you have to let us know if you saw Wicked. What is it, my friends, about Wicked that just really resonated with you both? What was it?
Oh gosh. For me, probably just like a lot of people, Elphaba's journey of just finding herself and becoming more confident and going from just feeling like an outcast to really feeling herself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it was a team outing.
So wait, you didn't have a choice?
She's such a good sport.
You know what? It was pretty good. But it was a team outing.
I definitely punched her when Adina and Kristen came on, and I don't think she knew why she was getting punched.
No,
oh, you didn't get it. Okay. That's good. That's so funny. Well, are you excited to see the second one, Jessica?
Yeah, I do.
That
I
was not confident at all. Okay. I did
no,
not
I do like the part twos.
You got to know how it ends.
What it's a whole year Zelda? Away, though.
I know you got time. You got time.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm so curious and interested to learn more about this journey of Fear Free and the why. I'd love to hear the why behind this. So when did you start your Fear Free journey and why, Dr. Bauer? Start with you.
So I definitely started in vet school because my friend and mentor, the behaviorist there, who has now moved on from there. Shout out to Dr. Leticia Finucci, if she's listening, which she better be. Yeah. That's really when it started. Just, I had always been interested in behavior and training, but really just working with her, working on fear, you know, working on the research projects we were doing was, of course, about anxiety, not at the vet, but still it's anxiety is anxiety. And then just coming out of school and hearing about Fear Free and getting Fear Free certified, it just all snowballed from there. Like, yes, this is exactly how we should be. I can't believe we haven't been doing this the whole time. Like, once you learn about it, you can't go back.
Right. Yeah. And Jessica, what about yourself?
Probably 2016 is when we became familiar with it. And I just had an advocate at my clinic who really wanted us to take one of the courses. And so after we did, it just became, why have we not been doing this all along? The journey to be able to do it, right, looks different for everybody. But for us, it was, why haven't we been doing it all along? And how can we do it more? Now, it's tricky in clinics, right? Because maybe you can do some, maybe you can't. There's so many reasons why some do it and some don't. But for me, it just became the, why haven't we always been doing this? Mm. Immediate love at first sight, one might say.
Yeah. And to those that may not know about it, what, can you explain a little bit about what Fear Free actually means? What does that mean?
Basically, looking after the mental well-being of your patients. And that was probably the hardest, well, was the hardest discussion with clients. We can't trim your dog's nails today, but you did it last month. Yes, but you may not know, want to know what that looked like last month. And now this month, we're starting on our journey of Fear Free, and we're not going to hold him down. We're not going to use three assistants to do it. We need to give him some pre-visit medications and have him come back.
Yeah, like Jessica said, it's think not thinking of physical and mental health as two separate things.
Yes.
It's all one being. You know, the more you learn about stress, the more you learn how it affects every system of the body. And what we do for quote unquote just a second, oh, we're just going to hold him down quote unquote for a minute and trim his nails, will last a minimum of 3 days in the body, potentially much, much longer if you get into actual trauma. But it is not two separate things. Like, well, that's just his mental health. That's not fruit for stuff. Like, right. Nope, that's really important. Yeah. As well. Just, it's just one animal. It's all together.
Yeah. I love that you shared that.
This doesn't work.
No.
Yes. Yeah. Really quick is what I hear too. Like, really, it'll be really quick, you know, just to trim the nails or just to pop the vaccine or whatever.
Only take a second. Only take a second.
Yeah. Yes.
And that is a commitment that you have to make, which is, we could talk later, is very difficult for clinics. We're short staffed. Time is money is one of the most recent ones I've heard. Like, there's so many reasons why we're not doing it, but it's to the detriment of our patients.
Yeah, absolutely. And so let's talk about that. And so to the clinics that maybe haven't started their journey yet, what are some tips that you can give to those clinics out there?
Boy, right away, because we speak to our local clinics when we can. We try to force ourselves upon our local clinics and our national clinics to just any advice that we can give them. Because I guess my first thing would be just pick a few things and stick with them and be consistent. If you like, you don't have to do all of the things, but if you picked having nice music in the room, letting your clients call you from the parking lot, like just pick three or four things and stick with them always and be consistent is a start. For sure.
Absolutely. And don't pick the hardest thing.
Right.
Pick, or even another, you know, focus on, I know when I started, it was focusing on prevention. Like, okay, I'm going to try to keep these happy dogs. I'm trying to keep them happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm just going to start with that. This FAS5, I don't know what, the highest level stress,
mm-hmm.
you know, the dogs that are already traumatized, already lunging at you. I don't know what to do with these patients yet, but I can certainly try to make sure that this happy lab has a great experience and doesn't escalate.
Right.
And yeah. Also, there are things that they can share. We try to talk to clients about how they can be advocates for their pets, because yes, our clients come here, but we also try to speak to the community locally and nationally. And if they have to go to the ER, what could that maybe look like? But just having the clients be advocates for their pets, and we try to give clients tips on what you can do when you go to your vet. I think the biggest one is don't walk into that lobby, and don't force your clients to walk into that lobby. We have local reps, right? We all have drug reps that come into the clinic, and the number of times they walk into our clinic and say, I just left a clinic where there was a dog fight. It is unnecessary in our opinion. Like everybody has a parking lot, and everybody should have the capability to call in when they get there.
Number two, that's number one. Number two for me would be don't go somewhere or allow your pet to be separated from you for things like nail trims, blood draws, anal glands expressions, you know, things like that. Be with your pet, because then you can see, because with the absolute best intentions, they're going to come and sugarcoat it for you because they don't want to make you feel bad. That comes from a place of good intentions. Oh, he did okay. But did he? What did he actually do?
And okay looks different when you are practicing fear-free or not practicing
right,
fear-free.
Right, exactly.
And but as you speak of some of these things, like don't separate them from your room. Well, I hear clinics say, I only have two exam rooms. So I need to take one to the back. I need to do any number of different things because I need to see as many patients as possible. But for us, that was the big change. You can't see as many patients as possible. You can't.
Yeah.
They need the time that they need to get comfortable to an extent. You're right. You don't want your appointment to drag on, but all of our appointments are 40 minutes. Dr. Megan has the ability, if needed, to spend 15-ish minutes with each patient if needed, but Fear Free also runs from our front desk to our assistants, to our doctor, to our LVTs, back to our assistants. Like the whole appointment, everyone is practicing Fear Free, but it's hard because there are a lot of clinics that still think time is money. And if I don't see my quota of 22 appointments today, how possibly can we make any money? But we have a very, very laid out 16 appointments a day. Yes, we do day admits and surgeries and things like that off to the side, but our scheduled appointments, there's only 16 of them. They're laid out very specifically so that we have the time to spend with each of those patients. And that time, in our opinion, the time we spend with each of those patients comes back to us tenfold when these patients are happy to come back and get happier and happier to come back.
And what I always would challenge clinics who think only time is money, how much assistant time, doctor time, tech time do you spend? Yes, maybe it only takes 5 minutes, but there were four or five of you laying on him to trim his nails.
Yeah.
Versus, okay, maybe it took us 15, but it was two people and the dog was happy also.
Right. You bring up a really good point. When I was talking to pet owners about this on a TikTok live, and we were just generally talking, they said that they don't see value in office visits sometimes because they feel that the doctor is rushing them and it's either like a 15-minute appointment, and they don't see value. Cut to what you're doing, for instance, where they're visually seeing almost everything, actively participating, learning, getting that hands-on. You just turn that client into your cheerleader, is what you just did, to be the best advocate. And to your point, they're going to want to invest more money and time to be with you going further versus the one client is like, I'm not coming in. Like, Dr. Kristen just hardly touched my dog and I had to spend $200 for what? For what? You know, the perception is so different than what you're doing. So I just think that's phenomenal.
And we, our clients, like you said, they'll tell us when we come in, we're running behind. Nope. When it's my dog, I know you'll do the same thing. I know I'll get attention. I know if I have an emergency or if my dog's scared that day, they'll tell us before we even have a chance to tell them that. They know.
That.
And that's what our assistants tell the clients. We are running a little bit behind the patient before you needs extra attention. And that is just sort of the theme around here is everybody needs the time and attention that they need. But and some say we take it to extreme. Although if you look on our social media, everything there says we take it to extreme. We're
definitely not lying about what we're doing.
No, I mean,
yeah.
No. So, but we do. Our patients wait in the parking lot. They do not cross paths in the hospital at any point during the day. We watch the front desk to walk our patients out. We watch it to walk them in when they're in the treatment area, because yes, some patients have to go to the treatment area. Surgeries, they admit if the owner can't stay, but we also offer the owners to stay with them for any procedure that they would like. We have different rooms and different viewing areas in the hospital where they can do that. They can watch surgery. They can step out when we have to do x-rays, but otherwise can stay with them. Some of that stuff is extreme. And some don't look at our clinic and think I could never do fear-free. This clinic got fear-free certified in a 2,000 square foot strip mall location with two exam rooms and two makeship exam rooms.
That was like 30 years old, 25 years old.
Yeah, we only have been in the new clinic for a year. So we did all of this in that old clinic and just really forced ourselves to make the space better and more accommodating to this. And outside is a great resource to do exams.
Yes.
As long as you have a safe place that you can do it, outside is a great resource. We have patients that don't want to walk in the front door.
We still go outside.
Yeah.
Even in this building that we built, we still go outside because they need to be outside.
I love that you're saying this because, I mean, sometimes I'll talk to other veterinarians. I'm sure you hear this too. They're like, no, that's not okay. I was like, there is night and day difference between some of these patients when you're doing it outside. Even I feel a little bit better when I'm outside too, let alone what it feels like for our dogs too, when we're able to do a physical exam on them. So thank you for sharing that. Absolutely.
It is scary to walk through the doors.
Yes.
Because even though we try to have it smell good in here, they smell it. They know. You know, and then we tried to make it even more enticing. So over by our dog scale, we did create a larger area for our scale, which the architects that we used were very old school. And we're like, that's not money. That's not revenue making space right there. And we're like, it is for us. Because if our patients can come in and get on the scale, that's awesome. So they come in, they get on the scale. There's toy bins and treat bins, and they can pick whatever toy, they can get whatever treats they want. And it makes for a happy time getting on the scale.
And we also have, if we either they don't like to be outside, we need them inside, we're sedating them, they're a flight risk, whatever reason, we have a separate small fenced in area where they can either stay in the fenced in area or come into the exam room from there and not have to go through the lobby. Because even though we have a quiet, empty lobby, it's still coming in and going down the hall, and they can just come straight in from their car.
I love that. Wait, can we just talk about something on your social media? To the listeners, you got to follow them. It's Latah Creek AH Animal Hospital on Instagram. I have to give you the shout out. I love social media, as you know. This bench warmer pet parents, 10 out of 10. Okay, I just want to tell the listeners, I want you to just share us a little bit about where you came up with this idea. It's called the Latah League, and they have varsity pet parents, JV pet parents, and bench warmer pet parents.
So
brilliant.
I think you should take the quiz, first of all.
Well, so here is, along with Fear Free, if you can't tell from looking at our stuff, we are very, very, very much have been on a branding journey as well with
Dick
Lambert. And that branding journey is, yes, our logo and yes, our brand, but it is our ideal team member, our ideal client, and
core values
and any messaging. Like, we have our ideal clients really kind of listed out and our ideal team members. That's how all of this works to the extent that it does. Our inside of our clinic looks like our Instagram page. Danielle and her designer designed the exam room decor. but we want varsity pet parents. Now that quiz, so it's a quiz and it's intended for two things. One, if you have a question on whether or not you're going to be a good fit for us, take the quiz. Because if you're, now, just because you're a bench warmer doesn't necessarily mean you're not going to be an ideal client.
Brilliant. Maybe
legitimately, you didn't understand these things could happen at a vet clinic. However, you may not want, because one of the questions is, are you willing to have financial conversations with us? Because we need to partner together for your pet's care. We're not gold standard, highest standard. We have a standard. And we will make that work with the finances that you have, but you have to be willing to have those conversations. And so those that are varsity, right? Obviously we want all varsity, but some are JV. And when you read their answers, like, okay, like I can see that, but the majority of them are trying to learn who we are and just don't call us if you don't like what you're reading.
Yes.
The intent.
So when I give lectures on practice management, if you're open to this, I would love to use this as a great case because this is brilliant. This is chef's kiss, exactly what the level of collaborating with pet owners should be in 2025. And I just think it's absolutely marrying that with fear-free. I think this is just a recipe for happiness all around. I mean, you look forward to seeing your appointment scheduling, knowing that you have these kinds of clients walking through your door, giving yourselves the time that you need. So my hat's off to you. I got to fly and see you guys. This is just phenomenal.
I know. Mean, for the a question for the vets out there, how many of you look forward to seeing new clients? Genuinely, do most of you raise your hands? Probably not, right? Who knows
what's going to
open the door? We just have just banger after banger after banger. I'm like, every single one of these new clients that I saw this week was a perfect fit. I've been in there for 20 minutes just talking to them because they all are, I mean, that's its own problem, isn't it? But I'll just be in there just talking to them. It's great. They have come here on purpose. They've seen our social media. They've read our reviews, good and bad, because Jessica responds to all of the bad ones as well. And that's a learning opportunity for clients, like, to see our responses. And they're all just have been mostly great fits. I mean, we're at like a 90% great fit rate.
On Rotten Tomatoes.
Right. Exactly. Well, it is a whole picture of, I think that's why fear-free works so well here. You don't get to not practice fear-free here. You don't get to not be certified. You don't get to not do continuing education. Our values are about learning and growing, learning from each other, learning from CE, helping each other, respecting each other, integrity, accountability. And because we hired our team members on some very specific values and we get our ideal client, they love working here. We're not having arguments about money in the exam room. We're not having arguments really at all with clients. The assistants love to go check in the appointments.
Or each other.
And it's been a journey. I mean, it has been a journey. It has not been all sunshine and rainbows. And one of the questions that we gave you was one of the things that surprised us the most. I don't want to jump ahead, but one of the things that surprised us the most is clients not wanting fear-free.
Mm-hmm.
And team members, this has been very apparent to me over the last few months as I've been interviewing, is team members, I don't know why vet clinics has to be synonymous with chaos and stress for the team. And I have these interviewees in the clinic and they're just like, yeah, this is just not enough chaos and stress for me and too quiet. So I think I'm going to stick with my other clinic. And it's just, so both of those things have caught us off guard. The client's like, just hold him down. Like we still have that mindset in some way.
This is your dog or cat. That's the part that gets me, is that we don't want to cause him stress and it's our patient. It is your baby. Yeah. I guess that's what blows me away, is that you would think that it would be the owner's like, oh, stop. Oh, no, I don't
those
aren't
our varsity
like,
clients.
No.
Right.
Like, helping us. I mean, right. Our varsity clients do. Oh, nope. They're watching for body language. They're telling us, you know, oh, you didn't see this, but I think you should stop. Thank you. But I'm just always like, well, can't you just get it done? Well,
yes.
No. I mean, taking your pet to the vet is like an alien abduction from their point of view.
Yeah.
They grabbed me. They took me to this room full of stainless steel. I mean, not in our hospital, but a lot of places, to this room full of stainless steel. I don't understand what's happening. I don't know what you're saying. you're using instruments I don't recognize and poking and prodding me. Like that's an alien abduction is what that is.
Yeah. I want to ask you too, I'm curious to get your feedback on this, because when I talk to clients about PVPs, you know, pre-visit pharmaceuticals, when you have those high stress patients in the clinics and sometimes they're at a loss to help, and then you mention these things, I'm like, so what do you mean? My cat's going to be drugged all day on pregabalin is what you're talking about? Like, tell me, walk me through a little bit of those conversations when you have to talk about PVPs.
A couple things. Number one, you knowing, again, that cortisol can last in your system up to 3 days, having them be sleepy at home, just kind of flipping the script on that, you know what they might be. And with some of the higher anxiety patients that need higher doses of PVPs, they will be sleepy at home. They will be. And that's okay. And here's why. And here's what to look for. And here's what's too sleepy. And if you don't see any of these signs, just let them sleep it off. Mm-hmm. So just for one thing, just a re-education about what being sleepy at home means and looks like, because it's okay that they are continuing to sleep and not have a cortisol spike. That's one really big education that we continue to beef up as we go through this journey is, yeah, they probably are going to be sleepy and that is okay. Now, if you have a 120-pound Great Dane, we're going to modify that so that you can get them in and out of the car.
Yeah.
But the sleepiness is okay. This is mostly dog owners, by the way. Cat owners will tell you almost to a T well, he sleeps anyway. So that's fine. Yes.
Yeah. Because I think of it the other way when I would get phone calls like, without using, this is before Fear Free, they would say, oh my gosh, she's out like a light. She was so stressed out all day. And I'm like, that's not okay. That's not how it's supposed to be. Like they were alligator rolling for a nail trim or for animal.
Right.
They're out like that because to your point, the cortisol just hit them so hard. They crashed and they're exhausted and traumatized by this experience. And so I tend to compare that to, you know, what's the opposite of what we want? Them so exhausted from being stressed out. No, that's not okay. You want them to be comfortable and enjoying the experience versus having these spikes. So, yeah.
It's hard. It is a journey also to get your clients on board with that. You know, it's been many years, both mm-hmm. of us separately and then together trying to get clients to do this. Yeah. As of today, all of our surgery patients get pre-visits. All of our day admit patients get pre-visits, and all of our, initially we started with FAS fours and fives. Now we're down to FAS threes, and also our FAS twos all get pre-visits. And we have but again, this is time. This is where, like, do you want your team to be spending this time? We choose yes. And so our team, we make sure that every appointment has had before they come in has been educated on why the PVPs are important and they cannot decline them depending on the FAS of the patient. And the other thing that you have to understand is you're going to lose clients. But again, like Dr. Megan said, for every client we lose, we get three really great ones that are here because of that, right? It's hard not to focus on the negative. We're human. That's what we do. And so, oh my gosh, that client's going to leave. They're upset with us because of the pre-visits. And then we get three phone calls of these clients that, oh my gosh, you're free. Oh my gosh, this might last that. I mean, I had a client, we have clients tell us their experience at their clinics. And that ranges from, I'm never taking my dog to get vet care again, to they recommended behavioral euthanasia. And we had a client who was recommended behavioral euthanasia if trazodone didn't work. Now, remember, trazodone for us is like water. It's like the baseline because we're at like trazodone, clonidine, gabapentin, ACE, promazine for our higher FAS ones. And so we saw this patient that we read it in the medical record. And when they came to us, it was nothing special, meaning the FAS did not stand out to us because we are used to working with these high stress patients. And if there's clinics obviously listening who don't want to be fear-free certified or don't want help with behavior stuff, then seek help or refer your high stress patients to someone that will help. That's what we're trying to tell, you know, our clinics around here. Like, you don't have to know what to do if the dog's in the room lunging at you, trying to bite you, but just like you would refer for anything, refer them to a clinic that you think might be able to better help them.
Yeah.
That's the other way that we have to be willing to kind of let go some of these clients if they're not the best fit for us.
Mm-hmm. And remember that your cats, I'm going to throw in a plug for cats here for the, because it's the same thing. We haven't specifically heard it, but I feel like we hear things like this a lot. Cats have a rich inner world and personality that they don't show on their face all the time. So your cats can get behavioral help. Your cats can have behavioral problems that we can work on. There are people like me everywhere who want to help your cats. It is not hopeless for your cat either. Mm-hmm. If they're peeing in the house, scratching things up, fighting with each other, that's a big one. It's not hopeless. There are, because I feel like even as many people out there as don't know how to help dogs, it's even worse with cats.
Yeah, I agree.
It's even worse with cats. Mm-hmm. There's just not the level of interest. I had a client very sadly tell me the other day, I don't think my last vet liked my cat. And I was thinking they probably didn't because I hear that all the time from my colleagues. Everybody loves dogs, right? If you don't love a golden retriever, I think you're a sociopath.
Look, our clients give us a lot of content for social media.
We made two videos about that because we were like, oh my gosh. And again, this is not, there's no excuse not to like any of these cats, but this is not a cat who was attacking and climbing the walls. This was a normally behaved cat.
Right.
Just a regular, not attacking you kind of cat. And he's just no reason not to like the cat other than just not liking cats. And I was like, well, you probably picked up on something that, as I heard it from my colleagues all the time, I'm going to small animal medicine, but I don't really like cats. What?
Right.
So you need to go into dog medicine then, because that's not what we're doing.
Right. You know what? I love so many things about just feeling, to the listeners, this is my first time interacting with these two rock stars. I just feel already, I feel seen. I feel connected to you. I feel like I'm down to earth. And I know that's how it's a reflection of your practice. And on top of that, you know exactly the lane that you're in. When I talk to these practices, not every practice is supposed to be Noah's Ark. You know, you have affordable care clinics, you have, you know, cat clinics. You know exactly who you are. You're staying true to your core values and your mission and vision of the practice. And if you're not aligned, pet parents and our team, there is another place for you to go. And that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love that you're transparent about that. There's just so many great wins. I could see why we got connected to do this podcast, honestly. Like, thank you for doing all these wonderful things and sharing the mission, because it's wonderful. And along those lines, what about those that are listening right now that I know they're going to be inspired by you two wonderful rock stars? So are you open to helping clinics that aren't sure where to start?
Yes.
Not so much open as forcing ourselves onto these clinics, just dying to help.
We want to help. We are so lucky that we ended up getting introduced. It was just by chance that Mikkel, Dr. Becker's daughter, came to visit us at,
yeah.
We were across the street, and she loved it so much that she got her dad down here, and we have just been, we would consider him a friend of ours,
yeah.
And a great friend. And
yeah.
We've been inspired by what he's done for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to carry that on and do it as much as possible and help anywhere we can. Like, we try to give him ideas and help them. And he's helped us. He's helped getting us connected with people like you so that we can,
yes.
Help get the word out. It is very inundating to try to become fear-free certified, but it doesn't have to be all or nothing at all.
Right. I like
if you,
that.
Yep. You call and you let us know what your situation is and some things you'd like to change. And we can give you some tips on how to do that.
One thing that you say a lot that I love is, whatever you choose to do, just do it always.
Yes.
Even if that's one thing, like, you know what? The only thing I think that my practice can handle right now is getting treats in the room. Great. Then, but always do that.
Yes.
Don't only have them sometimes. So whatever you can do, just be all in with that. Even if it's just that I'm going to have treats in the exam room and I'm going to leave the dogs in the car until it's time for their appointment time. Don't, you know what? That is great.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. If you can't do everything, do something. Don't be intimidated to start just because there's places that are all in. Well, I don't think either one of us started doing all of these things at once. I know I didn't.
No.
And that is exactly what I started with. Treats and exam rooms. I'm going to start with that because, like I said, I'm going to try to keep the happy ones that will in, try to keep them happy.
Because you're going to have clinics where some are buying into it. Some think it's a bunch of fluff. Some are very old school. I just got to get it done. What do I do if I can't get the blood drawn? He's sick. Well, there's a way to do that. And if you think your clients won't pay for it, or if you think they won't make a trip back for pre-visits, I would challenge that. Like, you would be surprised when you start looking at these things, what your clients are willing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Phenomenal conversation, friends. This is wonderful. Okay, so I know we're going to get asked this, so this is your moment. And we'll put this in the show notes to the listeners as well. Where can we find more information about you or about the practice on how to connect with you?
On Instagram, LHAH, is you can just send us a message through there. Our website, LehtahCreekAH.com, has our email address, but probably Instagram. We're very active on Instagram.
If you are more on the business side, practice owners, CVPM, you should follow Jessica Osborne on LinkedIn.
Yep, because I do talk about all of the things in our clinic and all the things we do here on LinkedIn.
And if you're a cat lover, follow me at cat.megan on Instagram.
There it is. Thank you so much, my friends, Dr. Megan Bauer and Jessica Osborne. Thank you for being on the show, and big shout out to Lehtah Creek Animal Hospital. Thank you for all the great work that you're doing in this profession.
Thank you. Thank you for having us today.
Thank you so much. It was so popular. We're going to be popular.
Take it, Jessica.
Oh, boy.
Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate this wonderful show. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.